management of myelodysplastic syndrome achieved a historic milestone at the 2007 ASH meeting with the oral presentation of data from an international multicenter phase 3 trial comparing azacitidine to conventional care in higher-risk MDS patients. This study demonstrated for the first time a statistically and clinically significant overall survival advantage for any MDS therapy. Participating investigators pre-selected a comparison arm of either low-dose ARA-C or standard induction and consolidation chemotherapy or best supportive care with antibiotics, G-CSF, and transfusions. 358 patients were randomized, and with a median follow-up of 21 months, the survival with azacitidine was 24.4 months compared with 15 months with conventional care, or a 74% survival improvement. I asked Dr. David Steensma to comment on this historic paper and other recent developments in the field.
For the first time this year at the annual meeting of the American Society of Hematology in December, there was actually a plenary session on myelodysplastic syndrome. The biggest news was a study of azacitidine versus supportive care or low-dose cytarabine, where azacitidine was shown to improve survival by about 9 months, delay transformation to leukemia, and it was well tolerated. Patients got an average of 9 cycles of therapy, so they were able to take the drug for a longer period than we've seen in studies in the past. There's another drug in the same class that's approved for myelodysplasia, that's decitabine. There's a multicenter study of a 5-day outpatient regimen, a little more convenient for patients than the package label, that showed a 32% complete response rate, which is better certainly than things that we've had before azacitidine and decitabine came along.
When you compare the available data on those two agents, how do you sort of put it together from the point of view of efficacy and side effects and toxicity?
Well, azacitidine has the survival data now. That has not yet been shown with decitabine. There is an ongoing survival study that we're likely to hear about later this year or perhaps early 2009. That's going on in Europe in the EORTC. And a very similar study design to what the azacitidine study was. I think that there is a suggestion that decitabine with the 5-day outpatient regimen, that the response rates are a little bit better than what had been seen with the 3-day inpatient regimen. These two drugs have never been compared directly head-to-head, so we've got to extrapolate from comparing studies side-by-side, and that, as you know, is a perilous undertaking.
Can you kind of put in context what the magnitude of the survival benefit that was observed with azacitidine compared to other interventions in the past? And it's more of a feel for what it seems to be doing there in the natural history of the disease.
Yeah, so it was 9 months difference, which it's the first thing that's been shown to improve survival compared to supportive care. It's probable that in the patients with deletion 5q that lenalidomide will ultimately be shown to improve outcomes related to supportive care alone, but we don't have those data yet. So this is important because it's really the first step, what George Cannella sometimes calls the first shot across the bow as far as things that actually improve the natural history of the disease in MDS.
Let's talk a little bit about the subsetting of the disease in terms of sort of what the relative incidence is and the therapeutic strategy. For example, you mentioned deletion of 5q. What fraction of patients fall into that category?
That's an area of some controversy, partly because there's a drug specifically approved for that. With conventional cytogenetics, probably 10 to 15% of patients will have deletion 5q, either in isolation or as part of a more complex karyotype. If you use FISH probes instead of just conventional cytogenetics, you can maybe pick up a few more that have small clones with deletion 5q, but that's not a large group.